Okay, today is Daf Lamed Hey. You're on the top of Daf Lamed Hey. Here we go. My Parva. We said that when the Kohen Gadol went to the mikvah, they brought him to the Beis HaParva. What does the word Parva mean? And we know what Parva means. It means something that's not Melechis and not Fleshiks. That's not what it means. My Parva, what's Parva? Amar Yosef, Parva Am Gushi. It's the name of a magician. Says Rashi, Mechashev Echad Bana, there was some magician, a Mechashev, who built it, Ushma Parva, and his name was Parva. That's what the guy's name was. Funny thing. Tosfa says, Parva Am Gushi, Pirish Ba'aruch, the Aruch says, V'zelashono, Yesh Min Chachamim Sha'omrim, there are some Chachamim that say, Ki Chafar Mechila Tachas HaKarka, he built a tunnel underneath the Karka, underneath the Beis HaMikdash, Bakodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash, Adjira Avodas Kohen Gadol. He wanted to see the Kohen Gadol. He wanted to see what the Kohen Gadol did in the Kodesh Kodashim. So he built a tunnel underneath to go look and see what the Kohen Gadol was doing. Virgisho HaKahana B'chafira. The Kahanan sensed that this guy did something. Umatzo, and they found it. Vikaru Oso Lishka Al Shemo. And they called it the name, they gave it the name after him. Because, I don't know why. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do. They caught him. Okay, we'll name this. Is he a good person? Is he not a good person? You can't get to. You can't. You don't know, right?
Here's a problem.
Yeah.
Days, do you know what it would take to actually start chisel a tunnel through the stone?
Right. 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 Others say that's all. The mikveh, others say, was called Beis Parva. The mikveh itself is called Beis Parva. Whether he was a magician, he was a tunnel, or whatever it was. But the actual room, that's where they salted the, according to the Rash, other Rishonim, they salted the, what did they salt there? They salted the hides of the cows. It was salted there. That's not a meat or dairy issue. And that's how it got to the name Parva. It's like a Parva thing.
Who's going to take that smell?
What? I don't know. That's what he says. That's what he says. And all the other rooms are named after what was done in there. Every room is named after what was done in there. There is a room, right? This is the base this, the base Tevin. Why? That's what you did in there. So why are you all of a sudden calling this room a different thing after a person who wasn't even such a good person, it doesn't seem like, right? Okay. Amar Rav Yosef, oh yeah. Parso Sadin Shel Butz. They put a Sadin of Butz. Maishna Shel Butz. Why of Butz? So Amar Rav Kahana. So they should know that the Avodas Hayom is Big Day Butz. The funny thing is, this is on the second going to the mikvah, we mentioned this. The first going to the mikvah, Rav Kahana said it over here, and then when we had the first mikvah, we said, oh, Joseph Rav Kahana said it by the second one, he also said it by the first one. Rav Kahana himself didn't say it by the first one. Rav Kahana only said it by the second one. Why? It's obvious. Because by the first one, when Kohen Gadol got up in the morning, what did he get dressed in? Big Day Zav. Now, they did a butz covering, a separation, a mechitza, so no one should see. He's getting undressed. Why butz? Because everyone kippur is butz. But at the second one, he's actually changing into white. Now Rav Kahana says, yeah, remember, it's Yom Kippur. Of course, every day he wore the gold. That's every day of the year. Only Yom Kippur he wore white. So Rav Kahana only says it now. B'shachar ha'ilavish pelusin shel shmona asar. In the morning he wore 18, and in the afternoon he wore 12. That's what the Mishnah said, right? Cost 18. V'tanya minyana asalash me'inon. Why are you telling me the number? Rashi says, diktani hakol shloshimana. It all costed 30. 18 plus 12 equals 30. V'chid ein oni yodin shloshimana asu shneimos hayshloshim. Don't we know that 18 plus 12 equals 30? Why did they just say that? The answer, kamash malan. The answer is as follows: the batzer mehani. Lo nevad. Don't make it more than that, or less than that. Hai batzer mehani, utfei ahani, less lamba. If you want to make it 19 and 11, you can do that. 20 and 10, you can do that too. As long as it always equals 30, and the shachris one was always more. The shachris one was always more expensive. Right? The kuli avamiyas, the shachar adifi. Everybody holds the shachris was more expensive. Why? We'll see it on the base. Minallan, how do you know that? Amrav Kahan, Amrav Huna, Brei Derav Eloi, Amar Rav Kra. It says, bad, muvchor bebad, the best bad. Wait, don't turn the page yet. What does it mean, bad? So it says in the Pasuk, Ksonis bad kodesh yilbash. Ubichnase bad yel basaro. Uba avne bad yachor. Ubizemis bad yitznov. Big day kodesh says the word bad four times. So therefore what? How does it tell you the shachris is more expensive? How do you get that from that? So Tosfos says on the bottom, nearly, chad legufe. One to tell you it has to be made out of bad. I wouldn't know that otherwise. Why does it say bad three more times? Right? V'chad bad lashon lavad. Shein lavad shimon big day zav k'derek shu osei klei mos hashana. No gold in it. Pure bad. Chad shlishi, ubad shlishi loma yoser tov mabad shal shayim mos hashana. It should be better than the rest of the year's bad. V'arevi shachris michel arvis. That the morning beats the afternoon. Inami or bad shlishi, revi, midrash, rachi. Okay, fine. The mamuv chashev bad. The best bad you have. Fine, very good. Why does the morning have to be better than the afternoon? Why? So the Gemara will say in a few minutes. Now, may say, one second. It says a pasuk in the Cheskel, of all places, it says, V'lov shu begadim acherim. They're going to put on other clothing. V'lo yadishu es ha'am bibigdayim. Right? And they're going to put on other clothing. My lav acherim chashuv mehen? That the afternoon is going to be better? Lo acherim pechus mehem. It's going to be worse. In other words, the afternoon is worse. Okay, so it's not a kasha. Whatever that kasha even was, it's not a kasha. But Rashi said...
We take a ride from Cheskel anyway.
No, because it says that's what they did.
Cheskel has the third base maker.
That they acted that way. They did that. They put on a cherim in the afternoon. You mean, what are you telling me? That they put on worse clothes? There's no chiddush in that. Must be they put on better clothes. So you see the afternoon's better? No, it's not better. It's worse.
Okay.
Now Rashi says, L'fisha avoda harishona tshuva umekaperas. Do you know why? The morning had to be more expensive? Because in the morning, what are you doing? That's where the avoda and the kapara comes from. It comes from the morning avoda, right? Then what happened? Basically, the Kohen Gadol got up in the morning, did the regular morning stuff, carbon tumid. Then he changed to the white, right? What did he change it to the white for? All the avoda Yom Kippur. Then he changed back into the gold, and he did the rest of musaf things that are done on every yontif. They lane, most of things. Then he changed back into the white. For what reason? To go back into the Kodesh Kedasha to take out the pan that's sitting there. Shouldn't be there a whole year. So what? That's such a chash of a thing? In the morning, it's tshuva. Rashi says, V'zu eina el lefanos es hamakom. It's just to get rid of the space. Get rid of the pan. She ain't kavod, she yumunuchin sham. It's not kavod, it should stay there a whole year. Lafikach, therefore, she not kasev begadim l'pachos. You create lesser begadim for that, even though they're white. You go back into the Kodesh Kedushim. Right, the first time he wore the white, he went to the Kodesh Kedushim three times, but it was always in the same period of white. Then he went put it back on the gold, did more avoda of the day. You know, most of the musaf things, which you don't need gold for that. You don't need white for that because it's not going into the Kodesh Kedushim. Then he went change back into the white just to go get the pan, because the Ketores is all burnt up. It's the pan sitting on the floor there. It's not right. Should be there all year, right? So no, since the point is since he's only going in just to remove something, not to do anything, so it's lesser clothing, that's all. The morning is more important because the morning's mom should get the
kapara. Why doesn't he just wear the same thing?
With the same what thing? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Tani Rav Huna bar Yehuda, of Amila Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Acha Shekalsa Avoda Tzibur, after he did the Avoda, Kohen, Asasalo Imo Ksones, his mother made him a Ksones, Lovsha, he could wear it. V'oved ba avodas yachid, and he could do an avodas yachid. They consider taking the pan out of the Kodesh Kedushim and avodas yachid. Bavad shim tzerena l'tzibur. As long as he gives it over to the tzibur afterwards, like it doesn't keep it. Says Rashi, bavad shim tzerena sof sof avodas tziburhu. At the end of the day, we're calling it an avodas yachid. It's really not avodas yachid. It's not right to say that. It's avodas tzibur. Avani shamati, I heard shavodas yachid is mikra parsha. The Avodas Yachid is when they would lean. They would lean in the Beis HaMikdash. On Yom Kippur, they would lean. That's what someone told me. Says Rashi, Ditnan, Bamasisan, Kore, Be'itz Dilis, Levan Mishalo. When he would wear whatever his mother made him, he would wear that when they lean. Vakashali, Begava, I don't agree with that. Delo Tnan Hasam, Uvajim Tnan Latibur. Because it doesn't say over there that you leave those clothing for the Tibur. So I don't think that's right. Okay, fine. So, pshita, is it obvious? Isn't what obvious? Isn't it obvious that you have to that you have to give it over to the tzibur? You can't keep it. So your mother made it. It's a very, look what the mother said, look what I made for my son, the Kohen Gadol. Right? It's a big chash of a thing. The mother made it, but you can't keep it. It's a pshita. At the end of the day, the Kohen Gadol's begadim on Yom Kippur, the white ones, couldn't be used next year. It's a pshita. Now, ma'u de tema, I would think the nechosh were afraid. Shema lo yim serena yafa yafa. Maybe he won't give it over. Yafa yafa. Doesn't really want to give it over. Why doesn't he want to give it over? Because his mother made it. So he's not going to give it over. Yafa. He's not going to give it over well. Kamash malan. We're not choshish for that. What does that mean? Who asked this question? One of the Rishonim asks. One of the Rishonim asks. I don't see who it is over here. Says, what do you mean? Devarim shebelev eino devarim. You don't want to give it over with all your heart. You don't want to give it over. But Leviathan, you gave it. What else could you do? What else are you supposed to do? Nothing you could do. You didn't give it over with a leif shalem because it's your mother. So what? At the end of the day, you gave it over. But I don't want to give it over. What does that mean? So he said, based on your Rishalmi, maybe he's going to be machdish it to the tzibur. Once you machdish it, then it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the same thing. It's a whole complicated. We're not afraid of all that. Interesting question. Okay. Next. Okay, now the rest of the daf is Agadata. Amru Allah al Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi. They said about him. Who's him? Who's Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi? Who is he? So he's one of the Kohanim Gedolim that's in the Bayis Sheni. He ruled for 10 years. He was a Kohen Gadol for 10 years.
Throwing your numbers off again.
No. He was a Kohen Gadol for 10 years.
You're throwing again those numbers off now.
So on Daf Tes, it said that he was a Kohen Gadol for 10 years. The Gemara said that.
So we keep losing years.
Right. So the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Nun Zayin says he was such a great person. They considered him mamash like a descendant of Pinchas HaKohen. He was such a great person. And there's a paschal that went out that said, Tz'ush Ar Morsheichem, open up the gates. V'nichnas Yishmael ben Pabi.
Is he Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol?
No, absolutely not. No. He was not the Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. On Wednesday's Daf, the whole Amud Beis is all about names. And we'll talk about Rabbi Shmuel then. All about names, not Jewish names. How's Shmuel a Jewish name? That's Wednesday's daf. Yitzchak. We'll talk about that.
Because, you know, one of the last Kohen Gadol was Rabbi Shmuel.
In the first base of Mikdash.
Second base of
Mikdash. Second, the last one?
He was Kisera Rukamakos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's that Rabbi Shmuel. There's Rabbi Shmuel we say every day. Shosha Simidos, right? It's a different person. So there are at least three Yishmuels that we know of.
The Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol.
Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. Then there's Rabbi Shmuel from the every day we say. Then this is Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi. There are at least three people named Yishmael. At least three.
He's 100 years later.
Right, right. Anyway, his mother made him a thing of 100 mana, called Big Day Kahuna. Very expensive. For Lovsha, he wore it. For Oved Ba Avodas Yachid, he did the Avoda and he wore it. Then for Umasra Lutzibor, he gave it over to the Tzibor afterwards like he's supposed to do. Amru Allah al Rabbi Lazar ben Charsam. They said about Rabbi Lazar ben Charsam, who's he? He was also a Kohen Gadol in the times of the second base of Mikdash, the Gemara says, in Daf Tes. And the Gemara there says that he ruled 11 years. He was a Kohen Gadol for 11 years. The Rambam, I don't know how the Rambam knows this, the Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mishnayis that Rabbi Lazar ben Charsam was at the same time of Antignas Ish Socho, which is like before Hillel and Shammai already. You know, like before the Hanukkah story even. Early. Okay, anyway, Sh'asno Imo Ksones Mishtei Ribui with 20,000 mana, right? Velohi Nihu Echava Kahanim Losha. Nobody else ever wanted to wear those that, but they Shinire Ka'arum, because it looked like he wasn't wearing any clothing. It was like see-through. Well, that's what's Nias. It's to wear see-through clothing. Ay, Umi Mitzchazi, is that even true? How can it be see-through clothing? The Amar Mar, but we know, Chuton Kafel Shisha. Every thread was six threads. How can it be see-through? Every thread was six threads, not see-through. Amar Abaya, well, kechamra b'mazga. It's like wine in a bottle. What does it mean, it's like wine in a bottle? Says Rashi, kiyayin hanirim mibachot l'kli zechukas. You have wine in a bottle, you can see the wine, even though it's behind the bottle, right? Afal pisha zechukas ava. Even if the glass is very thick, does it stop you from seeing the wine? Of course not. Right? Kach hoya hapishtan mutzahav. the pishlon was so pure, v'nirek b'saro mitocha, you could see through it. Yeah, it was six threads. So what? It was so pure, such good quality, that it was almost like see-through. Opaque, whatever it means.
Translucent.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know what this is doing here. The only thing I think of why it's here is because one of the people that's going to be very rich is Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim. So, Tanu Rabbanan. Oni v'ashir v'rasha born l'din. In Oni, in Ashir, a poor man, a rich man, and a Rasha come to din. La'ani omrim lo. To the poor man they say, b'pnei ma lo asakta b'torah. Why don't you learn Torah? We say to the poor man. Im amar ani ha'yisi. I was so poor. You want me to learn Torah? I couldn't make a living. Right? I was a beggar. You want me to learn Torah? V'tar b'mizonasa. I was so busy trying to earn a living. Omrim lo. Klum ani ha'yisa yosem hillel. You were poorer than Hillel. And this is why this daf is one of the top 10 dafs. Because Amru Olav al Hil Hazaken, they said about Hil Hazaken, Shebechol Yom V'Yom, every day, Hayaose Umistaker Betrapik. He used to have a job, and he would get paid a trapik. It's some very small amount. Chetzio Hayanosum L'Shomer Beis HaMedrash. Half of it he would give to the guard of the Beis HaMedrash. Why is the Beis HaMedrash a guard? So the Marsha gives two reasons. First of all, for security. It was out in the field, and it was dangerous, and had to hire a guard. A literal security guard, to make sure that everyone was safe. That's one pshat he gives. Second pshat he gives is because Rabbi Gamliel made an announcement. Any Talmud who's inside, not like his outside, can't come in. So they had a guard to check. Who's that guard? We said when this Gemara came up back in Brachos on the Chaf Ches, that someone, I forgot who it was, said there's no guard. Maybe there was a guard there. But they would ask him, are you Tocho Kabaro? Is your inside like your outside? Because they said, what kind of question is that?
What? It's a real person.
No. Rabbi Gamliel.
Did this later on.
Call Talmud Tocho Kabaro, lo yichzeh beis hamedrash.
150 years later.
Because how could it be Hillel? So maybe that was the minog in that beis hamedrash. So they had a rule like that. But what we said was there wasn't a real guard there. Here the Marsha says, two pshat, either was a security guard, you got to pay the guy, making sure everyone's safe, that's fine. Or it was a guard to Tocha Kabaro. We don't want to let it, not anyone can come in. Not anyone. Who's checking? How do you know if someone's Tocha Kabaro? How do you know that? How do you know? The answer is they would ask you, are you Tocha Kabaro? If you're Tocha Kabaro, you're going to tell me you're Tocha Kabaro, you're welcome to come learn here. If not, go home. It was just a self-introspection kind of thing. So who could measure if someone's Tocha Kabaro? Nobody knows. You know. So I ask you, you Tocha Kabaro? Yes, I am. Then come right in. Nah, I don't think I am. No, that was the guard. So maybe they have to pay somebody to stand there to ask that question? Fine. Anyway, and the other half he would use to support himself, and his household. Pamachas one time, lo matzal hisdaker. He didn't have any money. Velo, he didn't make any bit money that day. Velo, he nicho shomer beis hamedrash lechanes aleha. The guard wouldn't let him in. But he wanted to learn Torah. Vinisla, the Yashiv al Pi Aruba, he climbed up and went into the skylight, K'dei Sheyishma Divri Elokim Chayim, Mipi Shmaya V'Avtalion, to learn from the living God, Shmaya V'Avtalion, right? They're not the living God, to learn from the mouth of the living God through Shmaya V'Avtalion, Torah. Amru, Osu Hayom, that day, Erev Shabbos Haya, it was Erev Shabbos, V'Tkufas Tamuz Haya, Haitha. I'm sorry, V'Tkufas Teves Haitha, and it was Teves, right? V'yor olav shelag ben hashamayim, and it snowed. Kisha Allah amur hashachar, when it was the morning, amur lo shmai v'avtayin, shmai said to avtayin, avtayin achim, avtayin my brother, b'chol yom abayis meir, every day it's all lit up, v'yom afal, today it's dark, what's going on? So before we go on, what day was this? So we know it was Erev Shabbos, and it was Tkufas Teves, right? Tkufas Teves. The Ein Yaakov says that Fridays are always the coldest day of the week because there's a pasuk that says v'karkar kol b'nei sheis. That's a pasuk in Balak. One of the things Bilam said, v'karkar, double cold, kol b'nei sheis, all the 6 days, it's a play on words of shisha, right? Koloma yom ha-shishi, the hakar misgaber. It's very cold on Fridays, the coldest day of the week. Okay, I can't argue with that. Ein Yaakov says that. What's Tkufas Teves? So yesterday, I had the Nitei Gavriel in Hilchas Chanukah, and Josh said to me, why are you looking at Hilchas Chanukah? It's the Erev Shavuos. So because the Netziv Yisrael says, in the end of Hilchas Chanukah, he has Hilchas Nitalnacht. And he says in here that it was Nitalnacht, the night that Hillel went up to the roof to learn Torah, was that night. And you see from here, wait, you see from here, he's right. Now, I didn't say this. And you see from here, this is before he was born.
Right.
It wasn't an issue. They were learning Torah. That's his point. It was before he was born. 100 years before he was born, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out.
And the point is that they learned Torah that night. It's only a later invention.
Why wouldn't it have been?
What?
Exactly his point.
Because
there's a minhag, there is a minhag in Klai Yisrael not to learn Torah on Nitalnach.
Because of him.
Exactly.
But if he wasn't there.
Exactly his point.
But there was still Nitalnach. There was a pagan festival that was existed for
centuries
before Yoshua was born.
Exactly. That's exactly his point.
Yeah.
His point is that this is a new invention. It doesn't go back to Sheshit Mibereshis. And the night that Hillel went up to the roof to learn Torah was that same night, and as before this whole issue came up, and therefore it was mutter to learn Torah. That's all he's mentioning. It's on the first page, right here.
See, that's why the Gemara later on explains that story in that name?
No. But it's just saying, that's the night it was, and it was not an issue. Later on, this is an issue. Some people have a minute not to do it. That night, then it wasn't an issue. That's all he's pointing out, it wasn't an issue. Because he says like this, V'yei Shlomar, how could they do it?
I would never thought it was an issue.
D'zeh ha'yakod d'maisa shel osa ish. It was before the maisa of osa ish, not a shayla. Not a shayla. Don't ask me shayla. How could Hillel learn that night? Not a shayla at all.
Yeah.
Right? It's an amazing thing, no?
Yeah.
Fascinating thing. That's the night. Fascinating.
I don't think the Christian church made that day Christmas.
That's a whole separate story. 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 I don't know the actual date. No one knows. They say it wasn't in December. I don't know anything about that. I'm just a simple Jew. But I just found it fascinating that he says that's fascinating. Anyway,
there's no guarantee that that was any sort of pagan holiday.
That's not the point.
Absolutely nothing on that.
That is not the point of this story. The point of this story is the punchline of the story. That's just a gravy. Now, Amru, where am I up to? Yeah. Shema Yom Ununu. Maybe it's a cloudy day, says Shmaya Tav Talia, or Talia to Shmaya. Maybe it's a cloudy day. So, Hitzitzu Ale Enehem. They look up. Ru'ud Mis Adam Ba'aruba. They see a man, the image of a man in the skylight. Right? Olo, they went up. Matsu Olav, Rum Shosh Amos Shelet. 3 hours of snow. A big snowstorm in Israel.
They were questioning why it was dark, but there was a 3-foot snowstorm there.
Exactly. So, Parkuhu, they took him off. Verechitzuhu, they washed him. Vesichuhu, they anointed him. Veshivuhu, Kineged Hamadura, they put him next to a fire. Amru, they said, Roy Zeh L'chal of Esa Shabbos. For this, it's worth to be L'chal Shabbos, to save his life.
The snow was only on Hillel.
Could be.
I don't think the snow was all over the ground. I think the snow was just as they found the snow on Hillel.
Right.
Only on the roof.
Just like a cone of snow on him, the dude, man.
Could be. So the question is, many Rishonim ask the following question. What do you mean for him it's worth the Mechal Shabbos? You Mechal Shabbos to anybody. What do you mean for him it's worth? What, when a random person, you wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos?
Maybe they themselves did it. Maybe it could have been somebody else.
Some give that answer. Some say that what Mechal Shabbos are they doing even? What Chil Shabbos are they doing? Putting him in front of a fire so he can warm up? It's not Chil Shabbos. They made that announcement to highlight how great Hillel was. There was no Chil Shabbos here. Others say that, this is a very difficult pshat, halachically, if you endanger yourself,
you can say that.
Are you supposed to be Mechal Shabbos to the guy, now he's in danger? Maybe not.
That's sure it's not Torah.
Maybe not. But for Hillel, it was worth it. For Hillel, we would have done it. For Hillel, we'll do it. Maybe some random guy goes and plays in traffic, gets hit by a car, oh my God, we got to be Mechal Shabbos now. What do you mean? He did it to himself. Mechal Shabbos for that? I don't know, it's a big discussion. But for Hillel, we'll do it. So he goes upstairs and puts his life in danger to learn Torah. That's another pshat that they give. Anyway, that's an amazing story. Everyone knows that story. Every kid knows that story. It's a great story. The next two stories, though, not everyone knows so well. Asher Omer Mlo, Nimalo Losakta B'Torah, to the rich man, they go, why don't you learn Torah? Im Omer Asher Yisi B'Torah, Yisi B'Munachas, how can I learn Torah? I was so busy. Such a busy man making a parnasa. Omer Mlo, Klum Asher Yisi Yosim, Rabbi Eliezer, were you richer than him? Probably not. Omer Lov, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Charsim, they tell about him. Sheiniach lo aviv elef ayaros. His father left him 1,000 cities by Abasha, connected 1,000 sfinos by Yom, 1,000 ships.
funny. The other Rabbi Eliezer was also ridiculous. You were just Rabbi Eliezer in Hyrcanus.
Right, exactly. Anyway, ubechal yom v'yom, every day, no tol nod, shel kemach, he took a little flask of kemach, al ksefo, on his shoulder, umahalech me'ir le'ir, umedina le'medina l'ulma Torah. He was just a traveling learner. That's all he did, was learn Torah. Pamach, that's one time, matzo, avadav, they his family's own servants. They didn't even know who he was. V'asul bo'angaria, they wanted to enlist him into their service. Omalem be'bakasher b'chem, hinichuni, leave me alone, no, ve'elech l'ulma Torah, I want to learn Torah. Amru lo, chayar lozer ben charsim, shem anichin ozav. We swear in the life of Rabbi and Chasim, our boss, we're not going to let you go. They didn't even know it was him. They never even met him. Thought he was a random person. We swear by the life of our boss, I am the boss. They didn't even know that. Why didn't they know that? Because he was so busy learning Torah. So that's not going to be an excuse either. Rasha Omulo, and then Malo was talking about Torah. Why couldn't you learn Torah? They're going to say to the Rasha. What do you mean? I was a good-looking guy. I had so many tithes. What do you want from me? Omer lo klum no mi yisim Yosef. Were you better looking than Yosef? You had more tithes than him. Omer lo al Yosef atavik. B'chol yom v'yom ha'isa eishes Potifar mishtad lo b'dvarim. Every day she would start off with him. B'gadim shalav shalav shachris shalav shalav arvis. The morning she went to a hotel. In the morning she wore something else. In the afternoon she wore something else. B'gadim shalav shalav arvis shalav shalav shachris. Shouldn't wear that in the morning either. Amar lo, hishamali, listen to me. Hear me out. Amar lo, lav. He said, no. Amar lo, harini chavushcha beis hasar. I'm going to throw you in jail. Amar lo, he said to her, Hashem matir hasar. Hashem takes people out of jail. In other words, I don't care. Harini kofefes komazecha. I'll make you a hunchback or something. Hashem's okay with kifufim. Hashem raises up to down. Harini misamet inecha. I'm going to blind you. Hashem pokeach yivrim. Hashem is pokeach yivrim. Nasna lo elef kikrei ketzef lishmoyla. Gave her $1,000, whatever, lishkov etzla, to lie with her. Leo's ima, to be with him. To be with her. V'lo ratza lishmoyla. He didn't listen. Lishkov etzla ba'olam hazeh. Leo's ima la'olam haba. Not in this world, not in the next world. So the Chassam Sofer says an unbelievable thing. He says, and what if she would have said, I'll convert? I'll become Jewish. I'll leave my
house.
What? I'll get divorced from him, I'll become a Jew, and I'll convert to Judaism. What then? L'chor, Yosef would have said, that's fine. You're not over to Avodah Zarah. You're not over to Avodah Zarah. That's fine. That's what it sounds like.
That wasn't the option given.
What? No, but what if she would have said that? She would have said, he would have said, Yosef would have said, that's fine. Right, what's the sticking point here? She was not over to Avodah Zarah. She's a married woman living with idols. That day, when she didn't go to the church, Rashi says she didn't go. She pretended she was sick. So Yosef thought, she's giving up her Avodah Zarah. Now I can marry her. And he's being lamed. When Yosef says, Vayasa l'malach, he went to go do his business. Right? Some say that he was going to sin with her. He just couldn't hold it back. He was going to sin with her. He couldn't hold back anymore. He was going to finally sin with her. Right? And why? Because Yosef thought
doesn't sound like the narrative.
That, she's giving up all her idols. She didn't go to the church today for whatever the holiday was. She said she's sick. Now I can marry her.
She had good intentions. She said that she was going to have, that from her offspring it was going to come.
Her aspect, she had good intentions. His aspect, right. She's a married woman.
Right. But,
by the way, Menachem,
she just didn't realize it was going to be her daughter.
Does not finish the narrative of the story.
Not really, not so much. But, right. But he says like this. The Eitz Yosef says that, it sounds like he didn't wanna go against Potiphar. Right, I can't go against my boss, my Potiphar is a married woman. That wasn't it at all. That's why it says he didn't want to be with her, not in this world, not in the next world either. Potiphar's not in the next world. That wasn't it, what?
The Aver is.
That was right, but the point is that wasn't his issue. His issue was only for Hashem.
Because the Aver is.
Right. Exactly. Nimse comes out. Hil Mechayev Ethanim. Hillel's Mechayev the Aniyim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Charsa Mechayev is HaShirim. He's Mechayev the rich people. The Yosef Mechayev is HaRishayim. And Yosef is Mechayev the Rishayim. So may I ask you the following question. Is Hillel or Rabbi Eliezer ben Charsa or Yosef HaTzadik Mechayev any of us? Are they Mechayev any of us?
Obviously you would say.
The answer is no.
Why not?
Most of us are not either of these three people. We're not Rishayim, we're not super rich, and we're not super poor. We're just regular people. Regular people. And by the way, if you come to Shemayim, and Hashem says, you know, your life was XYZ, And therefore your punishment is, or your char is, your story is ABC. Is anyone going to argue with Hashem? You know, what do you mean? You're not being fair. It's not like a jury in Minnesota or something that does unfair justice. Whatever Hashem says, you're going to do it if it's fair. So what do you mean the mechayev you? What does that even mean? It means that they spur you on. They should give you the incentive.
But your logic doesn't work.
What do you mean?
Because the whole argument here is, if somebody has such a big taiva, then he's mechayev, then you have less taiva, for sure you're...
Yeah, but I'm not put into those.
Right. You're not a Russia. You're not so wealthy. So surely, if that guy who has so much money,
uh-huh. then you think if someone who's even richer than you was able to,
overcame it, so then you can't say, "Oh, I'm so busy with my money."
Right. So what you're really saying is what Rav Palm said. Yeah. And you know what Rav Palm said?
No, I was agreeing with Josh.
Right. Yeah. So Rav Palm said, "You know who's mechayev you? You. You know exactly your capabilities, and you know exactly where you're standing." And you know exactly what you're capable of, and you know exactly your shortcomings, and you know exactly where you cut corners, and you're mechayev yourself. You don't need them. Yeah, they're fantastic. I want to look at they don't really. Most people don't be good because they think of Hillel. That's not most people don't do that. Most people don't do that. Maybe you have some rare yechidim that can think of Hillel how he's most of nefesh. Most people don't like not like that. But you're mechayev yourself. It's unbelievable fart. You don't need them to be mechayev you. You're mechayev yourself. You know exactly who you are. You know exactly what your strengths are and your weaknesses. And you have to work on them. You want to use Hillel and Yosef and Elizabeth Chayes as inspiration? That's fantastic. It's anybody's inspiration. It's fantastic. Right?
A person has personal responsibility.
That's right.
We don't have responsibility anymore. It's the other person's fault.
Of course. That's right.
We're told to learn Midos from the Abbas. So.
That's right. We're not talking about Midos. We're talking about the Eight Sahara. No, what are you saying? No, you're saying it's true. That everyone always today. One second, we're talking about the Yetzer Hara.
Right.
We're talking about learning Torah.
Yeah.
So what do you want from me? The Yetzer Hara is so great. Okay, well look at Yosef. Yosef is managing, but I'm not Yosef, a regular person. Okay, you'll do your capabilities. What are your disyonos? What are your challenges? Whatever they are, you can overcome them. Right. Okay. Yeah. Today, nobody wants to hear all this because today's no one's not. Right. What Mati said, it's not anyone's ever fault today. It's someone else's fault. Right.
Reality?
No, not reality. That's just taking the easy way out. I'm blaming everyone else for you.
Well, that's always right. Right. That's the thing we do today.
Right. Okay, so let's just finish the Mishnah. And then like this. Balo Eitzel Paro. The next stage in the Yom Kippur procedure was to shecht the Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol's private ox, which was going to be mechaper for himself and maybe his family. He was standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rosh Olodorum, the head of the cow was facing south. Panav Lamayrav, and the face was to the west. The Kohen Omer ben Mizrach, the Kohen was standing in the east. Upanav Lamayrav, and his face was to the west. Samech Shteyodav Olav, he put his two hands on the animal. Umizvada, and he was Mizvada. Vekach HaYomer, and this is what he said. Ona Hashem. Did he say the word Hashem? Or did he say Hashem's actual name? We write in the Mishnah, it says Hashem. Hey Shin Mem. What does Hashem mean? It means the name. Did they say the actual name? So the Rosh says, no, of course he didn't say the word Hashem. He said Hashem's name. He said the Yud Kei Vav Kei. What? Yeah?
Does anybody hear the
So one second. Rav Haigon says, this is Rav Haigon, who is probably not so Kabbalistic, Rav Haigon, maybe he was, I don't know. He says the Kohen Gadol said the 42-letter name of Hashem. Does anybody even know what that is? That's what the Kohen Gadol said. The Rambam says that based on the Yerushalmi, they used to say it very loud. And then people started to, well, what's that? You're not supposed to say that any other time. Then the Kohen Gadol would say it very low. Nobody heard. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? He says he said it so quietly that even the Kohanim standing next to him didn't hear it. Right? Anyway, Aviti, Aisin, Parshati, Chatosi Lefonecha, Ani Uvesi, Ona Hashem, Kaperna, Lavonos, Laposhim, Lachatoyim, Shavisi, Shepashati, Vishachatosi Lefonecha, all the sins I did, Ani Uvesi, Kakasub, Betoras Moshe Avdecha, like it says in the Torah, Kibyom Hazeh, on this day Yechaper, we get forgiveness. Vehein Ona Nachrov, and they would answer after him, Baruch Shem, Kivod, Machasol, Yolam Vaed. That's how they answered, it's not Amen, it's not a Bracha, it's just a Tefillah, right? So they would answer, Baruch Shem Kavod, Machus Al Yolam Vaed. What's that about? So the next daf will go into that a little more, and everyone have a good yontif, and we will pick up tomorrow, daf tomorrow and Tuesday, both days at 7:10. Everyone have a very good yontif.